Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. Once again, we take a journey into health and healing. At the beginning of my career, when I would be asked to debate, and I debated dozens, if not hundreds of times, on different issues, and the reason I was selected because I was the only young nutritionist in the United States that had a platform. I was on the radio, a very popular radio show on WMCA, and a best-selling author of over 12 books at that time when I was still in my mid-20s. And so it had me on to debate the beef industry or the dairy industry or the sugar industry or the cosmetic industry. I was debating nonstop. And I found that the suggestion that a healthy lifestyle, a meditation or biofeedback or exercise or a healthy plant-based diet can make a difference was just mocked. It was ridiculed. No one believed it because no one ate a really healthy diet, only a tiny percentage, under 3% of the American population. But now today, we have so many hundreds of thousands of studies in the mainstream peer-reviewed literature. And that's why everything I share with you every day comes from the National Library of Medicine. You can check it out. So isn't it interesting that we've evolved throughout my lifetime to saying, oh, it's nonsense. Just eat anything in moderation. Drink anything in moderation. You don't need exercise after high school or college. Why would you need it? And to where, yes, we're going to take care of ourselves. But even with all this knowledge, we don't take care of ourselves. I'll get to that later on in the program. So we begin with taking a look at antioxidants and then beetroot juice and acupuncture and the most cancer-suppressing compounds are found in the vegetables I'm going to tell you about. And doing good for others is good for children and teens' mental, physical, and spiritual health. And also progesterone's protective potential against Parkinson's. So you see, we've got a lot spread out. We began with a study from the University of Colorado and about antioxidants. The article appearing in the American Journal of Respiratory and Critical Care Medicine documented a benefit for antioxidant supplementation among subjects with cystic fibrosis, or CF, which, by the way, is a genetic disease characterized by a production of thick mucus that impairs lung function. The current randomized trial found that patients who received antioxidants, which are poorly absorbed by cystic fibrosis patients, had a lower risk of respiratory infection, which are common occurrences with the patients. This was a double-blind trial, and including patients from 10 years old and older, and they also had pancreatic insufficiency. So they received an antioxidant-enriched supplement. What did it contain? Beta-carotene, coenzyme Q10, gamma-tocopherol, and lutein, that's L-U-T-E-I-N, and other factors, including markers of inflammation were measured after 4 weeks. The research was done at Children's Hospital Colorado and the University of Colorado School of Medicine. They observed a significant increase in antioxidant levels and lower markers of inflammation. So here's how it works. The more antioxidants like vitamin C, quercetin, vitamin E that you take into the body, the lower the inflammatory markers, the less free radicals, the less damage done to your cells. This is good. So if you know anyone who has a problem with lungs, pulmonary exacerbations, then especially those that require antibiotic therapy, then ask them to see someone in their area who's qualified in understanding nutritional biochemistry or dietetics and put them on an anti-inflammatory diet. Because not just the supplements, diet, because almost everything the average person eats is pro-inflammatory. It causes inflammation. It causes mucus. I remember when I was graduated from high school, and then I decided to go to business college, Mountain State Business College, the oldest business college in that area of the United States. And I took up a hobby because I could no longer go up the gym in the high school because I was now an older guy. I was 3 months older. Yeah, 3 months older. Who are you? You know, you had your year here as a senior. It's our turn. I couldn't even find anyone to play pool with at night. there was nothing else for me to do. You know, study or go down, shoot pool, which I'd done for previous 6 years. Now, all the other students were shooting pool, and I was never invited into a game. Yet at that time, when I was a senior, I was the best pool player in the town. I got to compete. Well, it wasn't competition. I got to, with Willie Moscone. Remember Minnesota Fats, Willie Moscone? We had a playoff championship, see who, when he was on tour, would play him. I had the best night of my life, and then I missed a ball. I think ball 27. And he ran 116 balls straight. He said, "You're all right, kid." Yeah. And I still had the picture where he signed it. In any case, that's all we did. There was nothing else in my hometown, too. And so I would start to lift weights in a garage with some buddies. And they were all out of high school, and they were older. And so that's what we did, all right? We lifted weights, and I bulked up. I mean, I was 236 pounds, small waist, lots of muscles, lots of strength. I wasn't doing it to be a bodybuilder. I was doing it for powerlifting. And I was a vegetarian. I didn't eat fish or chicken or beef or pork, but I did have dairy. And as a bodybuilder, of course, or a weightlifter, of course, we did almost everything wrong when it came to nutrition. We didn't know anything. There was no one to guide us. We had no role models. So we would take a lot of non-fat dairy powder. I mean, like a cup of it before each workout, thinking that would really give us the protein we needed. No, all that I noticed was there was puffiness under my eyes. And when I left Parkersburg, after I graduated, went to New York City, I noticed that I still had this puffiness, this mucus. And I couldn't figure out what it was. Again, I was not into nutrition at that time. Lifestyle was healthy. I never took drugs, never drank, and never did any of that stuff. But I still couldn't get rid of this. And so then I went to a conference in my first year of becoming well-known. It was a vegan conference. These were just the nicest people you'd ever meet. They were all old, and they were healthy. I mean, they were real vital. And their eyes were so clear. I'm looking at their eyes thinking, everyone else I know has bloodshot eyes or some yellow in the eyes, jaundice. These people didn't. And they went through, oh, you still have dairy? Well, here's why you shouldn't have dairy. So I got a good lecture on dairy. I got rid of all dairy. Within 2 weeks, no more puffiness under the eyes, no more mucus, and I had more energy. And I then started to run further and drop my weight down to what it would be at 190, which was normal for someone 6'2 and my body frame. And then when I started racing, I really dropped my weight down. You know that you're really in shape as a runner when other runners say, "Hey, you look great," because everyone else thinks you're dying of a disease. In any case, here's a study about daily beet juice. And that's simply, they call it beet root, but it's really just the beet. And you either eat it or you juice it. And if you juice it, that's better because it reduces the rate of repeat procedures and heart attacks in angina patients with stents. Queen Mary University. Yeah, just drinking beet juice, one glass a day, for 6 months after having a stent fitted, reduce the chance of angina, which is pain in the heart, in the patients after having a heart attack or needing a repeat procedure. This is published in the British Cardiovascular Society conference. So once again, we know that beet juice drops your blood pressure. We know it's really good if you have extensive high blood pressure, meaning not controllable by medications. And that's not the only thing you do. You have to start increasing your potassium-rich foods like celery and coconut water. I take one full glass, 16 ounces of coconut water before I go out. That's giving me almost 500 milligrams of potassium. You need that because that regulates the potassium sodium in your blood and helps prevent edema, swelling, and helps your heart, the rhythm of the heart. So, and then you add in beet juice, and down comes your blood pressure. So that's important. something easy to do also. And beets are inexpensive. So, by the way, the inorganic nitrate in beets is a nutrient that gets converted to nitrite by naturally found bacteria in the mouth, which is then turned into a signaling molecule, nitric oxide, or NO, by enzymes in the body. And nitric oxide has all the positive effects on patients' blood vessels. It expands them, helps heal. So if you've had problems being overweight, if you've had problems with high blood pressure, there's a high probability you have damage to your endothelium, the lining of the arteries and veins. So nitric oxide from pomegranates, pomegranate juice, beet juice, helps heal that. From the University of Exeter in the United Kingdom, acupuncture is a benefit to those with unexplained symptoms. Now, I take acupuncture preventatively. You know, yes, every week I get one treatment, and the doctor, who's a medical doctor from China and was a former professor, then he was at the University of Pennsylvania for about 30 years, and now is in semi-retirement down here. But he takes the pulse. And remember, they're trained to take multiple pulses. They can take your pulse and tell you a lot about what's going on in your body. And then he takes the blood pressure, but not with a machine. The machines are extremely inaccurate. And also how someone gets their pulse taken. Ideally, when you get your blood pressure read, you should be lying prone, not standing, not even sitting upright. And I'll get the old-fashioned stethoscope, you know, where they're listening, and squeeze up the balloon, and then watch it come down, get you more accurate reading. In any case, so attending frequently with medical unexplained symptoms, that's distressing. And so you know something's wrong, but the doctor can't find what's wrong. And we're seeing a lot of that now. I mean, a lot of it. And it's not being recognized. In any case, one in five patients have symptoms that remain unexplained by conventional medicine. So, a research team from the Institute of Health Services Research and the Peninsula Medical School, University of Exeter, has carried out a randomized controlled trial and a linked interview study regarding 80 such patients and all across London to investigate their experiences of having five-element acupuncture added to their usual care. It's non-toxic, it's non-invasive, you don't even know that the needles are in there. This is the first such trial of traditional acupuncture for people with unexplained symptoms. The results reveal that acupuncture had a significant and sustained benefit for these patients, and consequently acupuncture could be safely added to the therapies used by practitioners when treating frequently attending patients with medically unexplained symptoms. So, I think that's very important. Now, why? Why would this work? Well, because acupuncture is known to significantly rebalance the body's qi, or energy. And every single cell in your body, whether you have 20 trillion or 50 trillion cells, every cell communicates with each other in perfect harmony through electrical and other signals, and mechanical, electrical, biochemical. And they do this without ever being taught to do that. It should give you a little idea of the importance of paying attention to life energy. Because what do we do when we look into each other's eyes, you know, and that special feeling, that warmth in your heart, you feel, wow, how fortunate am I to have this wonderful sentient human being in my life to share this moment. And the joy of watching puppies and kittens play, and it gives us joy. All these are electrical impulses that are occurring that give us dopamine hits in the brain. So something you feel at the heart is coming also from the brain, but going to every cell in your body. It relaxes us. Listening to soothing music, just sitting on a porch when it's raining and hearing the rain hit the roof, especially if it's a tin roof, It's just so chill out time, mellow time. I'm in rainy season down here, and I asked my caretaker, "Did you hear the rain last night?" "Oh yeah, heard the rain." And it's just so relaxing. You go into a deeper state, and that's where you relax and de-stress. Acupuncture can rebalance your energy to your heart. I put together a protocol that can help people with AFib and other heart irregularities. Nutrients, but also acupuncture, can rebalance that. And it's been done many times. Even the acupuncturist himself used to have AFib until he started doing it on himself. Now he doesn't. So, you know, we don't pay enough attention to some of these ancient healing therapies, and we should. And finally, from Beth Israel Medical Center and Harvard Medical School, the question is, what are the most important vegetables to suppress cancer compounds in the body? New research has linked a compound found in Brussels sprouts, broccoli, and other cruciferous vegetables to one of the body's most potent tumor-suppressing genes. Experts estimate that there can be up to 100 times more enzymes in sprouts than uncooked fruits and vegetables. Enzymes are special types of proteins that act as catalysts for all your body functions. Extracting more vitamins and minerals, amino acids, and essential fatty acids from the foods you eat ensures that your body has the nutritional building blocks of life to ensure every process works more efficiently. The discovery that sulforaphane, I'll spell it for you, S-U-L-F-O-R-A-P-H-A-N-E, sulforaphane, is a potent antibiotic. And it was reported in 2002 at Johns Hopkins, broccoli sprouts have as much, well, even a higher concentration of sulforaphane than mature heads. So the sprout actually is more powerful than the full head of Brussels sprouts or broccoli. Sulforaphane appears to trigger cells in the body, including in the gastrointestinal tract, to produce enzymes that protect against oxygen radicals or oxidative stress. These are DNA-damaging chemicals, and inflammation that benefits osteoporosis and cancer, the inflammation is a benefit, but the broccoli sprouts can turn down that inflammation. The study says that the compound I3C-indole-3-carbinol is involved in a complex chemical chain reaction that frees the tumor suppressor to do its job, suppress tumor cells. So all along, when we were saying, eat your cruciferous vegetables, we were right. And now every day, more and more science is showing how right we were. Now, you can't eat Brussels sprouts, asparagus, cauliflower, and broccoli just raw, and you shouldn't. It almost all of it will go right through your body, non-digested, non-absorbed. But you can steam them lightly, then run them under cold water, and then use them in salads, dice them up in stir fries. Great stir fries, you start off with some coconut oil, and you heat it up at not high temperatures, and then you take some quinoa and some brown rice and millet, a little bit of each, and you start, and these are already cooked, and you start to stir fry those. Then you dice in sweet onion, garlic. Again, not a high temperature. You don't want to turn anything brown. That's not good. That's acrylamides. That'll destroy it. It's nutrient value. Then you add in some sprouts, lightly, and then some diced up nuts. You dice them up and put them in there with some different herbs, rosemary and oregano. And a good herb that will really pop the flavor is cumin, and or, you know, you can use curry, but I prefer cumin. And these are just some, then a little Himalayan sea salt, more lemon juice and pepper. Got a great dish. All right, stir-fried veggies. And then I put in there all the cruciferous vegetables, diced up. So it's just a wonderful dish. Then when you put some toasted sesame oil on it, when you turn the heat off, stir it around, let it steep, and then put some olive oil on your dish when it's finished. Just a little dish. So we want to protect ourselves and indole-3-carbinol in the same cruciferous vegetables, and they have all these anti-cancer properties. Isothiocyanates, also from the same family. So you got all these natural chemicals that kill cancer. So why wouldn't you be having one or two servings minimal of cruciferous vegetables each day? All right? I know some of you are getting your cruciferous vegetables each day. Remember, arugula, cabbage, kale, cauliflower, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, asparagus, and mustard. Those are all in there. And I'll do one extra, and that's the University of Texas School of Public Health. Doing good for others is good for children and teens' mental and physical health. Children and teenagers who volunteer tend to flourish mentally and physically, according to this new University of Texas study. Overall, the research team found that youths who had volunteered in the past year were in better physical health, had a more positive outlook on life, and were less likely to be filled with anxiety, depression, or behavior problems like the woke children. And so it comes down to this. The positive effects of volunteering on your health and your children, teenagers' health and well-being is well established. The more that you do to volunteer in this world to help others, no matter what your age, the better you're going to feel. And the past studies, two of them at least, show that volunteering brought up your whole energy level, your feel-good level. So they looked at 52,000 children, 6 to 17, and that was a good base. And they found that parents whose kids volunteered were 33% more likely to say their child is in very good and excellent health compared to parents whose kids did not volunteer. You look at the world differently. Let's just say that you're feeding someone. And we can all do that. Everyone can do that. When you go for a workout in your whatever park you live in, remember, we're broadcast all over the world. Oh, by the way, you can go up and see it if you want. It's under documentation, third-person documentation. But we just received a note from the people who have the radio program broadcast over the telephones. So usually in the telephone, they're the top in the world doing it. Thousands of stations use their service, and as do we. And in the whole world, that means where they use a lot of cell phones in Africa, and they don't have an easy signal, but the satellites give them the signal so they can listen to programs, just put it on speaker. And think of all the people in the United States that can't be near a computer or a land-based radio to turn on a program at noon for my show. Well, I've got cab drivers, I've got truck drivers, I've got people driving across the country, wherever they're at, and they just call a number and they get that. We are 12th in the world. Think of that. That means we're in the top 0.001% of radio programs that are heard over the telephone around the world. Those are huge numbers. So I want to thank all of you and Zeno for providing that service. In any case, I have an opportunity to see what happens when people do good things. So when I go for a run in the morning, I always take some extra money with me. Generally, $5, $20 bills, whatever I can afford. Because I'm going to meet someone out there who's trying their hardest to survive, that a little kindness would make a difference. Maybe they'll have enough to buy food that day and maybe buy some healthy food or have with a couple others. And I see this. I saw it on my block. The old Tri-State Healing Center, I started that on 84th Street and right near Riverside Drive. It was a whole brownstone I had, five floors. And every morning when I would go out to do my run, when it was dark outside, there'd be two people, one on each side of the block, methodically going through everyone's garbage to see if there was anything that could be recycled or fixed. And one guy would fix radios and lights, and up on Broadway, he would have a little table with all the stuff that day, and you could get a fixed lamp for $5. Must have cost $100, new. And I'd talk with him. I'd say, what did you do before this, and what's your goal each day? He says, well, there are about six of us, and we each have our territory, and we go up and we recycle plastic and tin and the aluminum cans, and then we fix stuff. One guy fixes stuff, and then we pull our money at the end of the day, and then that gives us enough to generally get two rooms in a single room occupancy SRO hotel. These are kind of not your best hotels, but at least they have a place to stay. They have a shower. They can get a little portable kitchen area. So that gets them out of the weather. And they have a very good day. It might pay for a week. So just imagine how good you feel knowing that day you did something for another human being. Not because of a thank you, but because aren't we all supposed to be helping each other? Isn't life more than just going through rituals and routines every day on a spectrum? I think it is. And it shows. Do good for others, no matter what their background. That's all we have time for our health and nutrition today. And you can always go to Gary and All YouTube and watch our Classroom on the Air, or Rumble for the more hard-hitting material, and also Odyssey for the hard-hitting material. We're going to take a break and come right back. I want to thank you for watching, because I'm now Zooming once again now that I'm off the road. I've been on the road for 3 weeks, and got a lot to share. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. Welcome back, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. Occasionally, you come across a video clip that is so unique and so insightful and just so much common sense, you say, wow. That's what I'm going to share with you now. Professor Anna Lemsky, professor of psychiatry at Stanford University, is sharing with us her insights of what it means when we lie. And why do we lie? And I'm going to play the clip in its entirety. No, excuse me, I'm going to play half of it. I'll play the other half tomorrow, because it's so concentrated in good insights. I'm afraid if I play the whole clip, we'll lose half of it. And I want you to really focus on this, because afterwards, I'm going to share my own insights, and I'm welcoming you to share yours as well. Because when we lie to ourselves, it's easy to lie to others. What are the consequences if we live by lies? Let's go to the clip.
Hi. Welcome to a special episode of After School. I'm Dr. Anna Lemke, professor of psychiatry and addiction medicine at Stanford University School of Medicine, and I'm really excited for you to watch this animation on radical honesty. Let's dive in. Every major religion and code of ethics has included honesty as essential to its moral teachings. All my patients who have achieved long-term recovery have relied on truth-telling as critical for sustained mental and physical health. I too have become convinced that radical honesty is not just helpful for limiting compulsive overconsumption, but also at the core of a life well lived. The question is, how does telling the truth improve our lives? Let's first establish that telling the truth is painful. We are wired from the earliest ages to lie, and we all do it, whether or not we care to admit it. Children begin lying as early as age 2. The smarter the kid, the more likely they are to lie, and the better they are at it. Lying tends to decrease between ages 3 and 14, possibly because children become more aware of how lying harms other people. On the other hand, adults are capable of more sophisticated antisocial lies than children, as the ability to plan and remember becomes more advanced. The average adult tells between 0.59 and 1.56 lies daily. Liar, liar, pants on fire. We've all got a little smoke coming off our shorts. Humans are not the only animals with the capacity for deception. The animal kingdom is rife with examples of deception as a weapon and a shield. The Lomechusa pubicalis beetle, for example, is able to penetrate ant colonies by pretending to be one of them, something it accomplishes by emitting a chemical substance that makes it smell like an ant. Once inside, the beetle feeds on ant eggs and larvae, but no other animal rivals the human capacity for lying. Evolutionary biologists speculate that the development of human language explains our tendency and superior ability to lie. The story goes like this. The evolution of Homo sapiens culminated in the formation of large social groups. Large social groups were possible because of the development of sophisticated forms of communication, allowing for advanced mutual cooperation. Words used to cooperate can also be used to deceive and misdirect. The more advanced the language, the more sophisticated the lies. Lies arguably have some adaptive advantage when it comes to competing for scarce resources. But lying in a world of plenty risks isolation, craving, and pathological overconsumption. Let me explain. In today's world of overwhelming abundance, it is easy to slip into behaviors that feel good in the short term, but are ultimately destructive in the long term. We engage in lying and create a false persona or a mask to cover up our behaviors, which leads to shame and isolation and fuels ongoing consumption. We cannot get out of this cycle of destructive shame that fuels addiction until we stop lying and start being who we really are. Radical honesty, telling the truth about things large and small, is essential not just to recovery from addiction, but for all of us trying to live a more balanced life in our reward-saturated ecosystem. It works on many levels. First, radical honesty promotes awareness of our actions. Second, it fosters intimate human connections. Third, it leads to a truthful autobiography, which holds us accountable not just to our present, but also to our future selves. Further, telling the truth is contagious and might even prevent the development of future addiction. Awareness. Lying can become so routine that we are unaware that we are even doing it. I call this the lying habit. To restore a truthful narrative of our lives, we must become aware of the lies we tell ourselves and others. Recounting our experiences gives us mastery over them. Whether in the context of psychotherapy, talking to an AA sponsor, confessing to a priest, confiding in a friend, or writing in a journal, our honest disclosure brings our behavior into relief, allowing us in some cases to see it for the first time. This is especially true for behaviors that involve a level of automaticity outside of conscious awareness. When I was compulsively reading romance novels, I was only partially aware of doing so. That is to say, I was aware of the behavior at the same time I was not aware of it. This is a well-recognized phenomenon in addiction, a kind of half-conscious state akin to a waking dream, often referred to as denial. Denial is likely mediated by a disconnect between the reward pathway part of our brain and the higher cortical brain regions that allow us to narrate the events of our lives, appreciate consequences, and plan for the future. Many forms of addiction treatment involve strengthening and renewing connections between these parts of the brain. Honesty promotes intimate human connections. Telling the truth draws people in, especially when we're willing to expose our own vulnerabilities. This is counterintuitive because we assume that unmasking the less desirable aspects of ourselves will drive people away. It logically makes sense that people would distance themselves when they learn about our character flaws and transgressions. In fact, the opposite happens. People come closer. They see in our brokenness their own vulnerability and humanity. They are reassured that they are not alone in their doubts, fears, and weaknesses. Intimacy is its own source of dopamine. Oxytocin, a hormone much involved with falling in love, mother-child bonding, and lifetime pair bonding of sexual mates, binds to receptors on the dopamine-secreting neurons in the brain's reward pathway and enhances the firing of the reward circuit tract. In other words, oxytocin leads to an increase in brain dopamine. While truth-telling promotes human attachment, compulsive overconsumption of high dopamine goods is the antithesis of human attachment. Consuming leads to isolation and indifference, as the drug comes to replace the reward obtained from being in relationship with others. Experiments show that a free rat will instinctively work to free another rat trapped inside a plastic bottle. But once that free rat has been allowed to self-administer heroin, it is no longer interested in helping out the caged rat, presumably too caught up in an opioid haze to care about a fellow member of its species. Any behavior that leads to an increase in dopamine has the potential to be exploited. What I'm referring to is a kind of disclosure porn that has become prevalent in modern culture, where revealing intimate aspects of our lives becomes a way to manipulate others for a certain type of selfish gratification, rather than to foster intimacy through a moment of shared humanity. There is a well-known phenomenon in AA called drunkalogues, referring to tales of intoxicated exploits that are shared to entertain and show off rather than teach and learn. Drunkalogues tend to trigger craving rather than promote recovery. The line between honest self-disclosure and a manipulative drunkalogue is a fine one, including subtle differences in content, tone, cadence, and affect, but you know it when you see it.
A truce there, and I don't know who that person is. I just watched that clip early this morning and said, maybe this will remind people it is always better to tell the truth, even though we're always coming from the dark side until we live in an enlightened state. Let me add a few things to that, and then I'd like your feedback. Please give us a call at 888-874-4888. And by the way, since I've been back, I was away for 3 weeks, I'm Zoom filming, so you can watch these films, and you can watch the graphics. Go to prn.live, that's prn.live, then scroll to Show Archives, then click Gary Nall Show Clips, and you'll see everything that you're hearing. You'll see it, and you'll see, you know, the opening, if that interests you or not, on health and nutrition. Here are some lies that we've been told at a large macro level. I'm not talking about the lies we tell in relationships. I'm not talking about overcoming our personal dark side so we can live it in a more enlightened and lighter life without the stressors. These are lies we've all experienced, and all of us have been at some point victimized, because once we believe something, because the authoritative nature of the person sharing it, an actor like Howard Stern or Jimmy Kimmel or Arnold Schwarzenegger and Barack Obama all saying, get your vaccines, and some using their personality and their charisma to do it with force, meaning we suddenly were punished if you didn't get a vaccine, you were rewarded if you did. Then we showed you the clips of all the rewards, from lottery tickets to donuts. Those are all lies. Now, maybe the people did not intend to lie. I'm not disparaging their character. But these people are wealthy enough, have enough resources and contacts and employees, that if they ask them, find the truth. Have vaccines been proven safe or effective? And then it depends. If you go Google something, the establishment controls Google. You're only going to get the information they want you to get. The truth will not be a part of that. So then you listen to a television broadcaster. Let's say you're liberal, so you listen to MSNBC or NBC or CBS, ABC, or you're conservative, so you're listening to Mark Levin. He's a warmonger. Sean Hannity, another warmonger, neocons. Now, it doesn't mean that everything they say is wrong, but an awful lot of it is. The really serious stuff is terrible in its consequences. So what if you believe them? Can't you do your own research? We're frequently afraid of the truth. What if I do my homework and I find out that I've been living a lie, voting for people who lied? The Red Scare during McCarthy, the Gulf of Tonkin led to the Vietnam War, and millions of people in Vietnam dying, over 58,000 Americans, plus hundreds of thousands injured. The Pentagon Papers, lies. They lied. It was only Daniel Ellsberg. By the way, we reached out to Daniel Ellsberg, who's terminally ill, and he's acknowledged that. And we spoke twice. They were not interested in anything we had to say. But at least, so you know, I reached out to him, mainly for the respect that I have for someone who risked it all to tell us the truth. And one of our other professional friends, Danny Sheehan, of the Christic Institute, he was the chief advisor to the New York Times and gave him the legal go-ahead, publish them. If Danny said don't, you would have not seen the Pentagon Papers from the New York Times. You still would have seen them from the Washington Post, Catherine Graham. We were lied to about cigarette safety. Remember all the ads, if you were old enough, or if you've done your homework and looked at the Journal of the American Medical Association for 50 years, they had all these ads, Chesterfields, Lucky Strikes, Marlboro. They're all good, nothing bad, soothing your throat. We don't know exactly how many people died, but the best estimate I can come to is somewhere between 7 and 10 million Americans over the last century died because of that lie. What responsibility did members of the medical community have when they themselves were not challenging their own medical organization? Aren't they also responsible? Because who lies more about your health than a doctor? There's no other treatment that can help you. Are you sure? Well, go to Wikipedia. And Wikipedia, because it's controlled by a group of quackbusters who, in my opinion, should have no respect whatsoever. I don't care what homeopathy, chiropractic, acupuncture, detoxification, no matter what you ask, if it's all health, you're going to get the orthodox establishment point of view, the big pharma point of view. So then you make a decision based upon limited information. I'll never forget sitting around a table. In fact, it was Judy Garland's old townhouse over on 67th Street off Fifth Avenue. There's this long table, and there were about nine people at the table. Seven of them spoke up, and at the end of the table, I'd never met him, didn't know who he was the publisher. And he held up a manuscript. He said, I've given you a copy of this. Do you believe we should publish it? And the first guy who said no was this huge, he must have gone almost 300 or more pounds, was the general counsel for General Media, the publishing company. He said, absolutely not. Will get sued into oblivion. The editor-in-chief, the managing editor, advertising, public relations, all the different heads of departments says, no, no, no. Then he leans over. He spoke in a very quiet voice, and he said, do you really believe that there are doctors out there who can reverse people's cancer? I said, I don't believe it. No, that's subjective. I've proven it. And I handed him a big folder. I said, here's each of 11 doctors. I've traveled around the world, and I've gone back 5 years later, and with all their terminal cases, these are the people that were alive and well with no other therapy except the doctor's therapy. He said, that's it. We're going to publish. Oh, the whole room went crazy on him. Man, they were angry. But then, jump ahead, about a year, and I was sitting in an office with the top person at 60 Minutes, And there was a man there, and one of its producers, one of its more formidable and honest producers, and he didn't say a whole lot during it, but they published the article on Dr. Lawrence Burton. I took him two cases of my work, research, taped interviews, proof that he was curing patients. And this man named Kreil, he also wrote the book Charlie Wilson's War, about Charlie Wilson, the legislator from Texas, played by Tom Hanks. Julie Roberts played in the film, and they were funneling money to the Mujahideen through the CIA. In any case, and by the way, his sister is a close friend of mine, just one of the finest artists in the United States. She was, in fact, chairman of the Department of Art over at Hunter College, and she, by the way, was down on campus teaching people who knew nothing about art the joys of art and healing, along with Elaine Ryan, another extraordinarily talented artist. In any case, the point was this. My articles told the truth. Next, Judy Moses, executive producer of 2020, called, and she wanted to know about this Dr. Stanislaw Brzezinski that I'd published an article. And so we met. I gave her my files. I gave her all the records. And two Emmys came from that program on Stanislaw Brzezinski. And then I did a whole series, 14 articles on medical genocide, showing that everything you were told about how to fight disease and cancers were lies. Everything was a lie, but the lies have been institutionalized, just like cigarette safety. My mother, everyone in my family smoked except me. They believed their doctor. How about fluoride? Every study out there shows it should be banned. How about Iran-Contra? We were shipping weapons out of Mena, Arkansas, down to the Contras, and they were shipping back cocaine and cash. And nobody arrested the Clintons or anyone else who were aware of all this at the time, that all this activity was going on. And we've had testimony from state troopers, but no matter how much evidence piles up, nobody wants to do something by someone who's being protected and selected and groomed. So you got Iran-Contra, you got Iraq's weapons mass destruction, and mission accomplished. All right. Who's been held accountable for all the lies? No one. And look at all the death and destruction. How about Libya, a country that represented the hallmark of the most cooperative nation with its citizens? And yet, Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, and Barack Obama and their national security advisors, and they all got together and said, let's just destroy it. We'll use NATO. And NATO's a lie. Their rationale for Libya invasion was a lie. The FBI's fear-mongering of Muslim terrorists within our borders, lies. Monsanto and glyphosate, it's safe, it's not, lies. Israel's apartheid state of Palestine, there's no apartheid here. Yeah, there is. Syria's operation, where we have been invading a sovereign country without a declaration of war and controlling its oil and not talking about it. Lies. Covering up mass surveillance. Lies. Clinton orchestrated Russiagate. Major impact on the elections. The wet market theory of the SARS-2 origins. Lies. The swine flu virus and therefore the vaccine. Lies. The campaign against hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin that are all junk and shouldn't be used. Lies. Lies. And that caused the death of at least 8 million people worldwide who would be alive today had they followed the advice of the doctors who were advocating for early intervention with these safe substances, with hundreds of studies proving it. The Nord Stream pipeline, demolished European Union's economy. You see, everywhere you look, you're being lied to. The safety of 5G, total lies. And I'll be doing a major original investigative report on that, hopefully in the next couple of days. So I'm just sharing this with you to show that every time you turn around, someone is lying about something, and that's at state and federal levels. We lied about critical race theory. We lied about identity politics. We lied about wokeism. We lied about all these other things. How long are you going to keep lying? But here's the deal. I keep asking, have you gone to your dark side? Have you gone to the side that has not been able to resolve your issues? Are you still acting like a victim of something? I know people that to this day can't find a job, not because they're not jobs. It's a job they don't want. If they get a job, they're going to get fired because their attitudes are terrible. They have this I'm a martyr element to them. There's no way to talk with these people. They're insufferable. And that's where they chose to be. They'll tell you they don't want to suffer, and yet everything they do shows suffering. Just this a week ago, I was going to help someone, and suddenly they have an emergency. An emergency that didn't exist, should not have even been thought of, but they never finish anything. They never start anything that they're going to be responsible for, so they just copped out. It was predictable. You have no idea how many times I've wanted to help someone who needed help, and they just could not resolve the lies they live with. Their whole life is a lie. And it's epidemic. Absolutely epidemic. So what are your thoughts? 888-874-4888. I'd like to hear them. And what I'm going to do now, while you're calling in, I've got some really good stuff coming. Some very positive stuff. First and foremost, later today, the webinar that I did a couple months ago, it was 10 and a half hours. I boiled it down to around 5 hours. It's been edited. I want to thank my long time, over 30 year archivist, Sharon Pride and Kathy. They worked together to edit out all the breaks and tighten it really up. So here's what we've got. And you can go to GaryNall.com for this. We now have it ready. I haven't been able to offer it to you as a webinar. As of today, you can go to GaryNall.com and download How to Get Off the Grid. Everything that I was telling you then and now is get off the grid, because we're heading for some disasters. On tomorrow's show, I'm going to go into great detail about that. So that's one thing up. Also, I put together a little package, and here's what it is. It's, let's just see here, where do I have it? And also, if we do have anyone calling in, I want to take their calls. This is called the Healthy Heart, Happy Life Special. And by the way, Jay Greger is doing magnificent graphics. I mean, magnificent. You just got to see his artwork. It's just phenomenal. He's been with me, I guess, 20 plus years. First of all, you're getting cardio stuff. Then you're getting the award-winning documentary, Reversing Heart Disease and Stroke Naturally. All right? And you're getting a great savings on it. You're saving almost $69. And why should you want to take a scoop of cardio stuff each day? Listen to what you're getting. You're getting raw chocolate, apples, bananas, almonds, rice bran, oat bran, Jerusalem artichoke, inulin. You're getting flax meal, sunflower lecithin, blueberries, magnesium citrate, ascorbic acid, potassium citrate, ginkgo biloba, hawthorn berries, papaya, pomegranate, reishi mushrooms, turmeric extract, blackberries, red wine, grape seed extract, resveratrol, quercetin, coenzyme Q10, vitamin E, mixed tocopherols, ginseng panax, green tea extract, cayenne pepper, and oats. Whoa. So if you care about your body, you care about your health, imagine, would you ever take the time to go find these ingredients, bring them all together, and put them in the body in a form that both is tasty, and because it's in a powder form, and we make our powders by a simple process that maintains the body of the integrity of the enzymes, the antioxidants. I don't think so. So we've done it for you. All right? So here's what you're going to get. And who doesn't care about their heart? You should care about your heart. All right? And when was the last time you had a heart cardiovascular checkup? Now you have a chance. Call Neil in the Vitamin Closet. You can call him Monday to Saturday, noon to 8, at 646-926-5430. 646-926-5430. Or you can go online and download it for yourself. These will go right out today. Where Josh does a magnificent job in there. What's in Reversing the Aging Process? It's multi-documentaries, by the way. I don't remember if it was 2 hours. Yes, 2.5 hours long. Well, here's who you're going to hear from. You're going to hear the whole story of cholesterol and its role in heart disease, why sugar is dangerous to your arteries, and how your diet can not only help your heart, but reduce your risk of other diseases like Alzheimer's and diabetes. You're going to how to lower your bad cholesterol, lower your blood pressure, lower your triglycerides, and lower your low-density lipoproteins. We've got Dr. Chris Calliope. We've got Dr. Nicaea Goldberg. And that's particularly important because she specializes in the hidden symptoms of heart disease in women. We've got Dr. Moshe Dekel about the importance of a spiritual approach to maintaining heart health. Dr. Frederick Vanini discusses a dozen risk factors for heart disease. Also, we have Dr. Michael Schachter, Dr. Robert Roberti, cardiologist at Dean Ornish's best program in the United States, Dean Ornish's Reversing Heart Disease Program. Dr. Richard Friedman at the Tai Chi Center talks about stress reduction. Dr. Ken Korns talks about heart disease and homeopathy. Dr. Howard Robbins, Dr. Mark Tenenbaum on ozone therapy, Dr. Ronald Hoffman on chelation therapy. Letha Haddadi, one of the finest herbologists in New York, and also Dr. Richard Ash on nutrition, heart disease, and much more. Chelation, nutrition, homeopathy, herbology, ozone, qigong, it's all in there. So look up what you're getting and think about that, all right? Because this is really something important. And again, give a call at 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. And finally, I got an email today, though I don't see it right in front of me. I'm not sure where it's at. So if Sharon, if you can find that email that was sent to me. Oh, here it is. And this is from someone I knew back in the 1960s, Julie Weiner. She was an editor, extraordinarily talented. In fact, she worked for a period of time as an editor, but she's been a human rights and activist her whole life. And she wants us to know, I'll just read this right here. Hi, Sharon. This subject is New Yorkers losing the right to vote on hand-marked paper ballots. Pass Viva New York now. And tomorrow's the deadline, by the way. So you got to act today, everyone. Please do this. Quote, thanks for offering to pass this info about an urgent election bill in New York State Legislature on to Gary, who will remember me from when I lived on the Upper West Side near his first health food store, and for whom I did some copy editing for a while. Please share with him my gratitude, particularly for his introducing me to WBAI program to some of the true medical heroes of the pandemic. And also, please share with him currently my main political volunteer project boils down to trying to get New York State to establish a right to vote on hand-marked paper ballots. We got a bill submitted to the New York State Legislature this year, Viva New York, Assembly 5934, A5934, or S for the Senate, 6169A, 6169A. But voting machine vendor lobbyists and some of their influential friends are torpedoing it. The legislative session is scheduled to end Thursday, that's tomorrow, and if Viva fails, universal use ballot marketing devices that would force all polling place voters to vote via touchscreen are likely to be certified as soon as this summer for a deployment in New York City and around. So, do this. Contact your state legislator in New York and tell them, vote tomorrow for a piece of legislation that is important for New Yorkers. Viva, V-I-V-A, New York, A5934, or S6169A. And we can thank Julie Weiner for sharing that information with us. Thank you. Julie is a citizen activist, and we need a lot more. Sharon Woolham, she's another one. Valentina Farsi, another one. We need thousands of people to speak up and share insights wherever we can. We're out of time, everyone. I didn't get any calls, but tomorrow I'm going to play part two of that wonderful clip of that professor of psychiatry at Stanford University talking about stop lying. And I believe some of you listen to this program because you know I'm going to say it like it is. Oh, and by the way, also good news, today my lecture to all of you who really did a yeoman's job. You came up there from all areas. One guy flew in from Chicago. Another one drove in from Chicago. We had people from the entire New Jersey, New York area come up. That's a long day. Two and a half hours up, and then sitting in that hot sun, and nobody complained, and you heard some really good people. And then the two showings, and by the way, all the money, every penny that came in the door, went to the wonderful work of Felicia, who runs a little radio station up in Woodstock. So hopefully a couple of thousand, $2,000 or $3,000, whatever came in at the door, is going to help her continue her outstanding work. So that's now posted. So if you didn't get up there, And by the way, I'm not going up to, that was my last trip to, I've done four trips up there. That's it. Any more things we're going to do, we're going to bring the message to New York City or to each of the different suburbs so people don't have to travel that far and they can come and be a part of it. Last time I did a lecture, we had 7,000 people from the audience come down to Union Square when we protested Bank of America. In any case, thank you all for being out there. Watch the film now. Go to GaryNall.com and you can download that. You can now get a copy of the Getting Off the Grid. Boy, is that important. Whoa. You're going to see how important it is as of tomorrow's show. Tomorrow's show is going to stun you with information you did not know that makes a difference in our lives. Eutrice Lead, and she's going to be on tomorrow's show also. Eutrice is just in her final 2 days, and then with a smile and a completely redone internal body, she is going back to a new home on the East Coast, and we're wishing her only the best. Now over to her.